Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Hi, I'm Sarah Smith. If you're the type of person that goes to Liberty as other people would go on safari, and the fact that John Lewis doesn't have a funeral service makes you fret, Sarah Smith cleaning cloths are for you. Sarah Smith, available from Sainsbury's, for the posher washer. Proud sponsors of Dumpty Dum.
A domestic violence helpline only 10 days before the evening in question.
Yes, I did.
Mrs. Titchener, what did you discuss?
I'm sorry?
Something that you'd struggle to tell anyone else, even your friend Kirsty Miller. Mrs. Titchener, I know how unfair this must seem. Why did you ring the helpline?
Rob, he was determined to have a baby. I told him I wasn't ready. The first time he plied me with wine, he held me down by my wrists.
I won't warn the public again.
I told myself he was my husband. It should be fine. But it wasn't fine, was it? Mum, Dad, I'm so sorry. Rob raped me. And not just once. It happened over and over again.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that's centred at Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm Royfield Brown. This is a special show because this is a special week on The Archers. As listeners, we know that Helen had been raped, but it's all the more shocking to hear that she'd been repeatedly raped by her husband, Rob. One rape is too many, but the repeated abuse was incomprehensible. Many women suffer this brutalisation, and early this summer, someone very close to me revealed that she, as a child of 12, had been groomed and raped along with her sister by a family friend. Both gave birth to his children. I decided to do this programme to understand the extent of rape and abuse and where help can be sought. Mariah Cohen is a sexual assault program coordinator at the Crime Victims Treatment Centre in Mount Sinai West and St. Luke's Hospital in New York. Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You're probably not an Archers fan, and and you kind of don't need to be. But suffice to say that all throughout the UK, people that are connected to the show that I love have kind of been rocked about this storyline of coercive control and rape. I know the US is not the UK, but as cultures, they're not too dissimilar. Can you just give us an idea of what are the figures around domestic abuse? How many women are likely to suffer some form of abuse in their lifetimes?
Yeah, so I can give you the U.S. statistics, and generally those that we cite is that one in three women, and actually one in four men, have been the victim of some kind of physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. And then kind of going a little bit more specifically, one in six women have been the victim of a sexual assault or an attempted sexual assault in their lifetimes.
How are those figures collated? How are they actually derived? Can you give me a little bit of a sense of that, please?
Yeah, that's a good question. The sexual assault figures come from a national survey, and the domestic violence ones as well, actually. So it's a survey that's conducted throughout the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the things which was a bit of a revelation for, I think, a lot of the listeners on the show was this mm-hmm. idea of coercive control. Mm-hmm. I'm presuming that without wanting to mix metaphors and stuff, is mm-hmm. a bit of a kind of gateway action, a gateway drug in terms of all manner of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Would you have any kind of figures around that?
So sort of apart from physical violence, you mean?
Yes, yeah, because I think one of the most kind of insidious things about mm-hmm. the storyline that we've all been following is that at first a lot of the actions of Helen's partner were seemed somewhat mm-hmm. innocuous at first,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and then it became much more controlling, taking away yeah. her use of her phone, she couldn't mm-hmm. drive, etc. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think that the statistics are probably similar. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, mm-hmm. but what we often say also is that things escalate in intimate partner violence relationships, and so often what starts as something that is coercion but not necessarily physical abuse can sort of end up that way, or something even potentially more fatal. So they're usually related. So I would say that the statistics are roughly the same, and it's a pattern of power and control and kind of coercion that usually escalates.
I appreciate that every case is different, but could you mm-hmm. give us maybe some kind of sense of a typical pattern, if that's even the right word to use,
mm-hmm.
And maybe the timescales kind of involved, you know, the typical pattern of abuse or, you know, coercive control?
Yeah, you know, the way that it often works, we sort of talk about the cycle, and it usually starts with very similar to what you're saying, kind of these small things that might not seem like such red flags if you know the person and if you know that person to be very charming and kind, but they can usually escalate, as we say, and usually what happens is that those red flags kind of start to pop up. Things like isolating or sort of extreme jealousy or things like that. There are lots of examples. And then usually that escalates to some kind of episode that might be violent, it might be verbal, it could be sexual assault. It sort of depends on kind of the type of violence used. And after that incident, there's usually what's kind of called a honeymoon period. I don't love that term, but I think that it kind of conveys the idea that after the violent episode, there's often this kind of reconnection, and the perpetrator will be very loving and charming again, which is really manipulative, right? But the person feels that they kind of have the person that they knew back. So that's sort of, and then it sort of goes back into that cycle of then there are those small red flags popping up again of coercion and control, and then it can escalate again.
And what are the signs before mm-hmm. things escalate, which are kind of, which maybe the woman, the partner, the man who's in that situation can actually spot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hang on 1 second. I'm actually just going to pull up.
Okay.
Just 1 second. We have a really handy.
No, that's fine. Because again, I think it was interesting. The listeners to the Archers, specifically mm-hmm. at the start of their relationship when they started living together, it was mm-hmm. the women who said something's up here,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the male listeners who said, oh, you know, there was an incident around tuna bake where he absolutely refused to eat something that she'd made for him, red flags went up for, you know,
right.
For certain listeners, and for others, this is, well, he just doesn't like tuna bake type of thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. So,
that's really interesting. Yeah.
I'm really interested to understand, you know, exactly when a line is actually crossed. It became absolutely clear after, let's say, 3 or 4 months of these drip storylines that something was up. But, you know, where it actually started was definitely a grey area for some listeners. Not for all, but definitely for some.
Yeah, yeah. And, that, you know, that's a really great example. And the red flag is usually in kind of how the person reacts to that, right? Mm-hmm. So if, for instance, she makes him a meal and he says, I don't love this, but thank you so much for making this, right? That's a very different reaction than, how could you do this? You know I hate this food, right? That that latter one is certainly a little bit more coercive, right? It's very blaming. It's saying, you know, how could you do this to me?
Yeah.
So a lot of kind of that, like, control and blaming is usually the beginning. There's also a lot, as I mentioned, jealousy can be a pretty big one. Mm-hmm. Someone who wants to be with you all the time, accuses you of cheating, kind of follows you around, isolates you from friends or family.
Which is exactly how the story played out.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's difficult and a really complex one, but I think is important to talk about, is also that kind of this unrealistic sort of love at first sight, you're the most amazing person I've ever met in the beginning, which can feel really good, right? Which makes sense why that draws people in. It feels great to be loved. But sometimes those can be red flags if it's kind of these, like, compliments or this dependency and this expectation of perfection almost.
Yes, and he absolutely did have that in terms of the way he wanted her to dress and to act, etc.
And that dependency, I think, can also be sort of the controlling, the way she wants to act or dress, and also, you know, things like, I need you, I can't live without you. That dependency, and also that can turn into a threat sometimes. So a lot of violent partners might threaten suicide if the person leaves.
Okay, so I suppose one of the other things which was surprising for me was, and it sounds incredibly obvious when I say it, but how, of course, this form of coercive control, which then leads to rape, produces a lot of unwanted pregnancies. Would you have any kind of facts and figures around that? In particular,
so sexual violence within a relationship.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. I don't in front of me. I can look for it. I can tell you that from the clients that we see, I would say more than 50% of the people that we see who come in to kind of heal from violent relationships, sexual violence was a part of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very common, because just like any sort of tool, any weapon. Rape uses sex. Sexual violence uses sex as the weapon. So it's not about sex, it's about power and control. In that sense, sex is that tool to wield that power and control.
And this might sound also like somewhat of a simplistic question, but why do you think that some men rape?
I don't think that's a simplistic question at all. I think it's a really important one. And I think that it kind of is a huge part of what we call rape culture, which is that it's normalized. Rape happening to women is normalized, but also the perpetration of rape is normalized, right? There is this very sort of macho culture that's celebrated. And so I think that it's like a lot of men in our society are socialized that it's okay to be violent towards women at most, right? But I think that the kind of the less obvious end of that spectrum is it's okay to catcall. It's okay to objectify, right? It's okay to assume that a woman is yours to conquer. I think there's a lot of encouragement of sexual aggression.
And how can we move away from rape culture?
I think that the first step is acknowledging it. I think the first step is saying that people are not raped because they did something wrong. Someone is raped only ever for the reason that someone chose to rape them. And I think that that's something that, we're not taught in our society, right? Women are taught to dress a certain way, to watch out, to not go down dark alleys, etc. Right? Men are not taught not to rape.
And why do you think that the extent of abuse has so been hidden in our culture on both sides of the Atlantic?
Is being hidden, you said?
Yeah, has been hidden.
Yeah. That's a good question. I think that in some ways it's kind of this like society level defense mechanism of denial. I think that a lot of times, just as a survivor might kind of minimize her experience, right, and saying, well, it wasn't that bad, it wasn't really rape, as a way to sort of protect herself against the hard feelings about what actually happened, right? If I don't think it was rape, then I don't have to feel about it. I think in some ways that happens in our society too. I also think that there are very entrenched mechanisms of kind of patriarchy and this rape culture that we're talking about, and those in power can perpetuate it. So changing it has to kind of come from people that also hold the power, right? And that's really hard.
So just before we wrap up, if any man or woman is suffering from domestic abuse and finds themselves in need of help, how can they reach out to your organization's services?
Yeah, so we offer services in New York. We offer trauma-focused therapy. You can call our main line at 212-523-4728. You can also look us up online. Our website is cvtcnyc.org.
Mariah Cohen, you've been a total star. Thank you for shining a little bit of a light on this very difficult and harrowing subject for us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing it up. It's so important to talk about.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're a total star. You've obviously done this once or twice before. Very clear, very concise answers. Thank
you. I'm so glad. I actually haven't.
Oh, yeah, have you not?
I've done plenty of trainings, but I've never done a podcast interview. So.
Obviously, Mariah's charity is based in America, in New York. If you are somebody who's been affected by domestic violence and you're based in the UK, you can call Refuge, who has been somewhat of a stalwart charity behind the whole Helen Titchener storyline, and you can call their 24-hour National Domestic Violence Helpline on 0808-2000-247. That's 0808-2000-247.
Helen, sweetheart, don't worry, it'll all be okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.